You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, November 26, 2009, at marketplace.org. Germans have something to be thankful for this year. Unemployment there is still under 8%. That's compared to more than 10% right here in the United States. And that's thanks to a government program that pays workers if their employers have to cut working hours. On Wednesday, the German government decided to extend that through 2011. From Berlin, Brett Neely has more.
The program is designed to discourage layoffs at German companies. It pays a portion of workers' wages for up to 18 months. In return, companies don't need to lay off highly skilled labor, the backbone of the German economy. Saving jobs hasn't come cheaply. The price tag for the program this year alone will run to nearly $8 billion. But it's kept unemployment low and helped Chancellor Angela Merkel win re-election in September. With the subsidy set to expire at the end of the year, economists worried that unemployment would jump suddenly and wreck the economic recovery. One research group said the government's decision will likely boost consumer confidence and give retailers some holiday cheer as the Christmas shopping season begins. In Berlin, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
For most people, today is about eating and being off work. But during your feast, rest assured, preparations for a retail all-nighter are in high gear. Stores and shopping centers are trying to tap as much commercial energy as they can find, but the economy's making that a pretty tough task. At the big mall in Portland, Maine, stores are opening early tomorrow morning, but not as early as they had been the day after Thanksgiving. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
It's called the Maine Mall, as in the state, not the street, and it's opening a lot later this Black Friday, at 6 a.m. General Manager Craig Morris broke the news to the staff earlier this year.
You know, I got a lot of thank yous.
He says the mall's 100 or so stores are cutting back. They have less merchandise in stock, they're limiting the discounts, and they're trying to save on staffing.
I think what we heard is that we can do as much business opening at 6 as we could have if we opened at midnight and were open for those extra 6 hours.
That could be pushing other stores to consider later hours as well, says Kathy Granis of the National Retail Federation.
As times have gotten harder on retailers, opening those extra hours can actually cost them a lot of money. And in these challenging times, retailers are looking to save costs.
This year, the Federation is expecting a few more shoppers than last year, but not nearly the numbers we saw before the recession. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
After today, our attention will likely turn to shopping. On Monday, known as Cyber Monday to some, many of us start retail shopping from our work computers. And the deals we'll see there, well, this year for the first time, some hotels are chiming in. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
Chains like Starwood and Affinia Hotels are offering deals on stays here and abroad. Mark Woodworth of PKF Hospitality Research says the traditional Cyber Monday purchase usually involves tangible items, but he says services like spa treatments are increasingly popular presents.
Why not have hotels package their services in such a way that makes it easier for that consumer to buy, particularly via the internet?
Woodworth says there's good reason hotels are taking advantage of Cyber Monday this year.
While demand has contracted dramatically as a result of a weak economic environment, we've had significant increases in supply opening up in many markets around the country.
So there's a glut of hotel rooms and not enough bodies to fill them. He says demand will increase in the second half of next year, and by early 2011, prices will go up again. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
The rush is on to feed needy Americans today, but a study this holiday season says food assistance programs are facing some big challenges. We'll have that in just a moment. Thanksgiving meal today with help from a food bank is in focus. In Philadelphia, one place has found a new way to distribute food to the hungry. Joel Rose reports.
The Community Food Center in North Philadelphia isn't a typical food pantry. It's bigger, and there are more foods to choose from.
Think of a 7-Eleven store. The clients come in, and they can walk through the store with a grocery cart and accumulate whatever will fit in the basket.
Marty Malosh teaches food marketing at St. Joseph's University in Philadelphia. Malosh and his students designed the community cupboard as an alternative to regular food pantries where the staff chooses what goes in the box.
You're actually picking the food. You're selecting what you want. You're not getting stuff you don't want.
Malosh says that means less waste and the clients feel more comfortable. There is, unfortunately, no shortage of demand. Since it opened earlier this month, Malosh says the cupboard has gone through 3 times as much food as he expected. In Philadelphia, I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
So a study this holiday season says food assistance programs are facing some big challenges overseas, too. Supply, funding, and price. Researchers at the Milken Institute say there are some innovative ways, market-driven ways, to address those concerns. Betsy Zeidman's a fellow there, and she authored the report. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Ethiopia has requested $6 million in food aid, and Kenyans nearby have also been struggling with a big drought over there that's causing famine. I mean, this is an era of so many technological advances. Why are we having trouble feeding people?
It's a really good question. There's lots of reasons for it. There's the logistical challenges. There's the challenge of agricultural development in the countries, legislative and regulatory challenges. In the U.S., we provide food in kind as aid. We don't provide money. So you have to actually physically get that food shipped to the countries. But there's also some solutions.
Yeah. Tell us about those.
Well, I think one of the most obvious ones is to really help the developing countries build up their own agricultural infrastructure and grow their own food. But that will take a while, and there will always be a need for emergency food aid. And there are actually a number of financial tools, things that are used in the private sector, that can help serve this process.
And you talk about these food assistance bonds, right? I mean, how's that going to work? I mean, would there be a danger of aid organizations paying too much in interest and not enough aid getting to the people who really need it?
Well, there will be. They will pay interest. I mean, there's no question about that. However, this is based on a model that was done in the vaccine world. And donors pledge certain amounts of money to pay for these. But that money comes in over a long period of time. So the countries have pledged it. You can get out there. They issue bonds backed by this. And when the money comes in, that's used to repay the interest.
And in this economic downturn, I mean, for the past year and a half, I mean, do you see this really growing, or do you see it, I mean, taking off in the next year? How's that going to work?
I see in an economic downturn, people need to be creative, thinking about how to get money, how to deploy money, how to use money efficiently, how to enable food to get to places more efficiently. And these are one of the tools in the tool basket that can help in an economic downturn. They are not the only solution by any means, but they are something that should be thought about to help, because the economic downturn affects both the money coming in to cover the food as well as what's going on in the countries where more people are starving.
Well, Betsy Zeidman, a research fellow from the Milken Institute, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for being with us today.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.